Sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day. If you love a parade, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, I see you at home. I see you at home sitting there this morning with a cup of coffee in your hand, afraid to raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. I know you like a parade, and by the way, there is no one else who's going to see you. Everyone loves a parade, don't they? Parades are indeed wonderful events. Here in Sheboygan, we certainly have our fair share, don't we? There's the holiday parade. There's the Memorial Day parade. There's the 4th of July parade. And yes, who can forget the Brat Days parade? But there's another parade I want to talk to you about today. It's a parade in our text from John chapter 12. And the parade's a little bit different, isn't it? There are no marching bands. There are no decorated floats or clowns throwing candy to the children. There is no parade marshal, no celebrity waving to the crowd from the back of a convertible. No, the parade that we have in our gospel lesson for today is a little bit different in this way. We have the people waving palm branches and chanting psalms. We have the honoree riding on the back of a donkey. I'm going to bet that a parade like this you've never seen in your life, have you? You see, this parade isn't about celebrating a special day or celebrating a special festival. This parade in our gospel lesson for today is about the arrival of a king. As a matter of fact, the king. But will he ultimately be the king the crowd is expecting? Well, let's find out together this morning. From the beginning of our text, everything seems to be going as expected. John writes, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem." So why all the excitement? Why did all these people gather to see Jesus? Well, it kind of hints in our text for today. It wasn't that long ago that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And if you remember the story, and I'm sure you do, there were a lot of people from the town who came that day to console Mary and Martha on the death of their brother. But then something happened that day, didn't it? Jesus came into town. Jesus went to the tomb. He told the people, "Roll away the stone." And then he gave out a command, "Lazarus, rise and come out." And he did. And what did the people do who were there that day? Did they go home and forget about it? No, they went home and they told everyone. They told everyone about the miracle this man had done. And now that Jesus was going to head into Jerusalem, why not go see this miracle man in person? But just seeing Jesus wasn't enough for the crowd. John records, as I said in the beginning, they took palm branches, and they went out and met him. What a scene that must have been. All these people gathering together, finding where they could, palm branches to wave in the air as Jesus makes his grand entrance. I'm sure for many of the people gathered that day in Jerusalem, how the entrance of Jesus must have took them back to those days, little stories of days gone by. You might remember from your Old Testament readings that it was the custom that the kings of Judah rode on donkeys as a hallmark of their descent from King David. In 1 Kings, for example, David's own son Solomon was demonstrated to be the heir to the throne by being seated on David's own donkey. And so today, here comes Jesus, riding no less on a donkey. "Hosanna, son of David, save us, deliver us," the people shout. In their minds, Jesus was to be another King David. That's part of the reason that they took to waving the palm branches. But in Jesus' time, the use of palm branches by the crowd also expressed something else. It expressed a claim to a conqueror or a liberator. So for the people gathered that day, the waving of the palm branches was an indication of what they expected from Jesus, that he would be the one to free them from the Roman Empire. And in fact, they were almost sure of it. They shut out this line from Psalm 118, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then they add on this extra phrase to assure Jesus of his royalty. Blessed is the King of Israel. Well, indeed, Jesus is the King. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the King of Kings. But what he is not, however, is the King that the people had expected. They wanted to see in him another King David. They wanted to see Jesus as the great military leader who would rid them of Rome once and for all. But that's not the kind of king Jesus was. Oh, he certainly could have, with a snap of his fingers, with the word from his mouth, all of Rome would have been on their knees begging for his mercy. But if Jesus was that king, what about you and I? We'd be in a lot worse shape today, wouldn't we, than just having to worry about some virus. Now, our biggest fear would be the consequences of our sins, and that is a guaranteed death. We are all tempted to make or remake Jesus into anything or anyone that works for us. We saw that today in our reading for the people who had gathered into Jerusalem. They wanted to make Jesus the next great military leader of the Jewish people. And we even see that in Jesus' own disciples. They wanted Jesus to become an earthly ruler. So then when Jesus starts to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that, yes, on the third day he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again, what does Peter do? Peter stands up, he gets into the face of Jesus and says, "No! No, Jesus, there is no way that these things are going to happen to you." The people, the disciples, they never quite understood it, did they? The disciples would later on. And John writes about that in our text for today. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. No, Jesus did not come to be some military leader. No, Jesus did not come to be some earthly king. Jesus came to be one thing and one thing only, to be the promised Messiah. And how would he accomplish this? Well, it started all the way back in Bethlehem, and it continues this week. For what kind of king makes his first bed a place among the animals? It's the same king who rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The same king who will wear as his crown twisted thorns stuck into his brow. The same king who will make as his throne a cross. So did Jesus meet all the people's expectations? Probably not. For this king is not like the world has ever seen before or will ever see again. This king doesn't come to be served, but to serve. To serve his Father in heaven. To accomplish his Father's plan for our salvation. that his son bears the curse of sin so that sinners like you and me can be forgiven. Let this be in our Savior's name. Amen.